Assalamu alaikum. My name is Abdul Azim Ahmed. I am part of the Muslim Council of Wales. I'm a academic as well by day job at the Centre for the Study of Islam in the UK at Cardiff University. And I'm someone who's, I think, let me try and counter up. I've been part of Darul Hijrah since 2005. I remember that date specifically because the very first time I went to Darul Isra was for a meeting, for an Umrah trip. I decided that basically I was like 18 or 17, around that age, and I wanted to go on Umrah. And so I heard about this Umrah trip that Sheikh Yaqub was organizing at Darul Isra Mosque. I kind of found this mosque in Qataiz, walked in, met all the brothers, and that was the very first time I visited Darul Isra. And I just, you know, like many other people, found that barakah in Darul Isra. And it became a home away from home since then. And as I've got older and work's got busier and life and, you know, family and all these other things take up more and more of your time, I've had less and less time to spend at Darul Isra, but it still feels like home away from home. You know, I know some people talk about having second homes, you know, like a big cottage somewhere pretty in Wales sometimes or elsewhere. But for me, my kind of second home is always Darul Isra. I always feel like, you know, that's where I can go if I need it. And the brothers and the sisters and the congregation and everyone there are like my extended family, people I can turn to and rely on for support. So it's always had that kind of feeling of security and safety for me. And that is a place where I've learned about Islam, worshipped Allah, you know, learned about the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and had these amazing memories with friends. Makes it somewhere very special. And I think many other people feel the same. But I'm not here to reminisce about Darul Isra, and I'm not here to reminisce about Umrah either. I'm here to share a Ramadan memory. And the memory I want to share is 2015. So I don't know about anyone else, but 2015 Ramadan is very clear in my mind. Because it was probably one of the most difficult Ramadans I'd ever encountered. Now, it was a heat wave, and that heat wave started almost exactly the same time as Ramadan. And not only was it a heat wave, it was kind of the first time, I think, that Ramadan had properly entered these summer months. And as, obviously, as everyone knows, in the summer, the days are long, much longer. For people around my age, so late 20s, early 30s, your coming of age fasts, your coming of age Ramadan would have been winter. So, you know, I remember going to school, skipping breakfast, skipping lunch, spending time with friends, busy day of school lessons. You come home around 3:30, just enough time to change out of your school uniform, and then it's 4:10 and iftar is served and you can break your fast. Now, comparable to today's fasts, that seems almost ridiculously easy. But that was my baseline. That was actually my memory of what Ramadan was like. So when we came into summer months, it was like a completely different experience. And obviously, you know, British fasts are long, but, you know, they're not the longest. There are longer fasts in places like Iceland and Greenland or places in Northern Europe and Russia. So it wasn't necessarily the longest fast possible. But there was something else, which was the heat wave, which meant that it wasn't just long, it was hot. Now, obviously, if you go to a country in the Middle East or in South Asia, you're closer to the equatorial belt, it's hotter. But the days are shorter, you know, the days are more balanced. So no matter what the season is, the days are usually about 12 hours long and the nights are about 12 hours long. So the experience of fasting there is hot weather, but a reasonably, you know, decent length of fasting. It's not too long. And although it gets longer as you go up north in Britain and other places in the world, it's meant to get cooler because that's like the payoff. That's like the compromise, kind of like, you know, you're sort of adjusting the scale. Yeah, OK, the fasts are longer, but the weather's cool. The UK is meant to be, you know, a nice chill country. Temperature never really reaches over 20, 25, even in summer. And it's usually wet and it's usually a bit cold. But not 2015. No, 2015 was ridiculously hot. It was so hot that people died. There were like 3 soldiers who died on an exercise in Penivan that year. It was phenomenal. I remember being in a home with like 2 fans blowing at me, and I'd frozen a bucket of ice and put it in front of the fan because I'd heard that would cool me down, and it was not working. I remember going on drives with my wife just before iftar, and we'd hit the dual carriageway or the motorway, put the windows down just for that cool air, you know, hitting us. Because the UK is not built for hot weather, man. We're built for really, you know, mild in, you know, chill weather. We can't handle extreme cold and we can't handle extreme hot. It's all kind of medium. And we had none of the infrastructure for hot weather. So no air conditioning and houses that were meant to keep heat in and not let them out. So there I was, first few days of Ramadan, feeling absolutely exhausted by the heat. You know, you break your fast at 9:30, you rehydrate, you get some more calories in you. And before you know it, it's time to fast again. Because, you know, Fajr starts really early. And it felt relentless. And in previous years, you know, I had this whole checklist thing. I used to have like, oh, I'll do this much Quran in Arabic and I'll read this much of a translation and I'll do these extra prayers. And I tick them off day by day by day. Yeah, that went out the window for this Ramadan. I had not the time, the energy, the capacity to think about any of these things. I just felt like I was managing to keep up, literally just keep afloat, doing the daily things you had to do for studies and for family life and to get by day to day. And I didn't feel like I had any extra capacity to deal with any extra worship or ibadah. And I share this memory for a few reasons. One is, first of all, I think there are a lot of people out there who do find fasting difficult. And fasting means so much to us. It's, you know, a bittersweet experience, right? It's difficult, but it's full of such barakah. And naturally, you know, as Muslims, we're meant to be positive people. So we don't speak about, oh, the fact you found it tiring or difficult. You speak about the rewards, the barakah, the blessing, the enjoyment that comes out of it. You speak about the end product. And that's something which is a disposition of a believer. He should be someone and she should be someone that focuses on the positive. And that's a good thing to do. But I do wonder, and I do think that sometimes people who are struggling with fasting, if all they hear is the positive experiences, they can sometimes feel isolated and feel demotivated because they think, well, what's wrong with me? Why can't I enjoy it like everyone else does? Why do I struggle like everyone else doesn't seem to do? And fasting is meant to be difficult. You know, if it was easy, then Allah wouldn't promise the reward that He promises, which is from Him alone. He says, fasting is for me, so I'm going to reward it alone. There's no set kind of like ajr you get for doing the fast. It's something that Allah uniquely and personally appreciates. And His promise to us is to reward it uniquely and personally to us. And so that significant, that substantial, unique reward associated with it is something that is an indication of the fact it's difficult. So I want to share that moment of kind of, for me, exhaustion, tiredness, and a feeling of being overwhelmed by the challenge of Ramadan. Just to kind of reassure anyone else who might feel like, well, actually, I'm finding this Ramadan difficult. And I found previous Ramadans difficult, so I'm not sure how I'm meant to deal with it. And I think it's just to say that, you know, everyone does find it difficult, and there are difficult experiences of Ramadan, and it's meant to be hard. But there's another reason I share this particular memory, because it was the one which kind of brought home to me a beautiful poem by Rumi. So Rumi, Jalaluddin Rumi, he's a Persian poet, and, you know, some people call his Masnawi, his collection of poems, one of the greatest tafsirs of the Quran, commentaries of the Quran. You know, if you read some of the poems, they're interlaced with Quranic ayat, and they would have so many memory lessons and wisdoms within it, that if you want to understand the message of the Quran, you know, not as a book of fiqh or as a book of aqidah, but as a book to live your life by, Rumi really brought her out with his poetry. And he has a poem which I'd really encourage everyone just to go and read, and it's called The Guest House. And I'm not going to read it in full, because I probably don't have the time, and also, you know, just to keep things focused, I want to just talk about what I took away from that particular Ramadan experience. So it's 2015, it's hot, it's exhausting, and I'm feeling like I can't actually keep up. I can't keep afloat as well as I usually do. And I'm not even sure how I'm going to handle the rest of this Ramadan, other than just being a passive sort of, you know, individual, just literally fasting and nothing else. But one of the things that gave me motivation and helped me focus and helped me to bring my kind of energy out was to think that, well, actually, this is from Allah. You know, we are experiencing one of the most hottest and longest fast possible. So there's very few places in the world you'd probably have a hotter Ramadan or a longer Ramadan together. Like I said, there's usually this relationship, this payoff, where the longer the days, the cooler they are. And this wasn't the case in Britain in 2015. It was long and it was hot. And this was so unique and so out of character that we have to remember this is from Allah. He decided, you know, he is the one who decides, who is in control of all things, who has set the events of our life and determined them. That he decided that British Muslims in this particular year would have an extremely hot and long Ramadan. And that came out of his wisdom and his choice of us to encounter and experience that particular Ramadan and to learn the lessons from that particular Ramadan. And that gave me some motivation and that helped me put things in context. And that's something I've taken away to other experiences in life. You know, anytime I encounter anything, good or bad, challenges and difficulties, I try and remember that this came from Allah. Allah chose this particular experience for me. And he has some wisdom or hikmah or lesson that he wants me to take from this. And I can rise to the challenge because Allah is watching me and looking directly at me and observing me and what I do and how I react and how I meet this particular challenge or experience. And this particular lesson is the lesson of the guest house from the poem of Rumi. And again, just Google it. It's a short poem and it's very accessible. And he basically says your life is like a guest house. And all these guests which are sent to you are from Allah. So some guests are sweet and pleasant and some are difficult. Some, you know, might destroy your home and others will bring some calamity. But you have to remember that every guest was sent to you directly by Allah. That he chose this particular guest and he instructed this guest to go to your house. And you have to, in a way, sort of host them as best as possible because they are from Allah the Divine. And this message is something I think that helped me put that Ramadan in context. And it's something I try to take away in every single experience. Because when you realize every difficulty, every challenge, every sweetness, every joy is something Allah's chosen for you. And he's done so out of mercy and kindness and love and wisdom as well, that you will kind of be able to meet those challenges differently. So that's my reflection on Ramadan. And I really hope everyone has a blessed Ramadan. And as we're facing a kind of unique Ramadan and the lockdown, no mosques, no taraweeh, everything's a bit different, stuck at home, which can be a blessing, but also, you know, you spend so much time with so many same people, it can also be a challenge. That is from Allah. That particular experience is from Allah. This particular challenge is from Allah. And Allah is observing how we respond. And he is also hoping for us to take from this a lesson, a barakah, a blessing and a wisdom. And that is open for us to receive. We just have to prepare ourselves to receive that. So again, Ramadan Mubarak to everyone and stay blessed, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.